everybody. Welcome to episode 171 of Rain Delay Radio. My name is Naim. This is the Game 7 Sunday in the NBA. We were actually initially planning on recording with me and Dylan between the two Game 7s. Because I had plans, obviously, for the Pacers Game 7, and he had plans for the Wolves Nuggets Game 7. Didn't end up working out because of timing. So instead, I'm here with Pat. Pat, how's it going?
Dude, great day. Picked up a new cat today. Got a kitten. We named him
what
Chase.
What is the kitten's name?
Chase Catley.
Chase
after
Catley.
Chase Utley.
Got it.
Yes.
So Chase Catley joins Grogu and what's the other?
So the other two are leaving. My roommate is moving out, so it'll just be Grogu and Chase.
Gotcha.
So Grogu needed a friend because he's very bonded.
Sure.
To one of the cats, and it's going to be hard for him. So we got him a new brother. So it is. We have full names: Din Grogu and Chase Catley.
There you go.
And
I'm sure the kids
game
excited,
seven.
Right? The kids excited about another new.
she's so stoked. She loves him. Not a game seven Sunday for me, but no. Game seven Monday tomorrow, as the Oilers are gonna try and beat the Canucks. I'm a big Edmonton Oilers fan, so
there you go.
Hoping to get this done.
Blues did not have a great season and got
they did not.
It was okay, like it was like just outside of like being a like fringe wild card playoff team, which is not a good season. It's just like you existed. Ended up with the 16th pick in the draft, which is probably what they earned. It's like one of those seasons that's like, great, nothing. You did nothing and you get nothing for it. But
well, that's the cool thing about hockey is even if you're a fringe playoff team and you make it, you still can win the cup, which is what the Blues did.
Yeah.
When they made it, they won the cup and they were like the worst team in hockey at the halfway point that season.
But they had a really, really great second half. So like they had a lot of momentum.
Because they started playing Gloria.
It was 100% Gloria. Yeah. And Craig Berube, who just got signed to be the Maple Leafs' new manager or coach. What do they call them in hockey? It's coach, right? Head coach?
Head coach.
Yeah. I've been watching a lot of soccer, actually a little less baseball because I'm watching so much basketball, and basketball's head coach, but soccer it's manager, baseball it's manager. It's like my head's all out of whack.
Yeah, for me, it's either baseball or hockey I watch lately. So
yeah.
I'm a big hockey fanatic.
Yeah. I mean, I've always been baseball over basketball, but obviously playoffs come in, you know, and playoffs come in and suddenly it's like, and the Pacers, you know, have missed the playoffs for a few years. And like, this year, I kind of like was really excited about the Pacers, like coming into the season, partially because the Cardinals have not been good the last year and a half now. Like they've had a good week. So I'm hoping that they take that momentum going to the rest of the year. But the Cardinals had such a bad year last year that I was like, I'm going to get super into the Pacers this year, and it has paid off. I mean, I've always been a Pacers fan, but this year I was like, okay, I'm just going to get super into basketball again. When I was a kid living in St. Louis, it was basketball over baseball for me, even though I lived in a baseball town and not a basketball town. But then that shifted. But this year has been a basketball year for me, so feeling really good. Eastern Conference Finals, let's go. Also, all my cousins are Celtics fans, so.
Oh no!
So, yeah,
that sucks. That sucks. I'm so sorry.
Yeah. I mean, I hate Boston. I haven't always hated Boston. I definitely hated Boston for a while. But it's kind of fun to have the rivalry now with my cousins with the Pacers Celtics. So, but let's talk about baseball. We're not talking about basketball. We're not talking about hockey. We are talking about baseball. Although, if we won't talk about soccer, Borussia Dortmund in the Champions League finals. That's my. I picked them at the beginning of this year to be my my European soccer team, and they made it to the Champions League finals. Feeling great.
Nice.
Feeling great about everything but baseball, really, and hockey. But
yeah.
Let's talk baseball. So Dylan wrote the first half of our outline. So I'm just going to read it mostly verbatim from what Dylan wrote when he was going to be. When he's going to be hosting this for us. Paul Skeens is here and he's bucking good. 6 innings, 11 strikeouts, 1 walk, no hits in his second start against the Cubs once again, this time in Wrigley. 100 pitches. It was also like umpire squeezed him a bit So he probably should have gotten 12 or 13 strikeouts. There's also no hitter through those six. Like I said, zero hits. Ended up coughing up the no hitter. You know, he didn't cough it up. The reliever did. I don't remember who the reliever was. Dylan's question here, between Jones and Skeens, do they are the most exciting 1-2 in baseball? The other candidates, Dodgers, Glasnow, Yamamoto, Phillies, Wheeler, Nola. Obviously, I know, Pat, you are biased here.
Oh, you're forgetting Suarez. Suarez is the best pitcher in baseball, right?
Yeah, Wheeler slash Nola or Suarez. 1-2-3 is probably the Phillies.
It's undoubtedly the Phillies as far as a 1-2-3.
Yeah, almost certainly the Phillies. I mean, which is a great spot to be in. It's a great spot to be in. The great thing for the Pirates is that they are young.
Yes.
You know?
So I made a prediction, in Slack, we do our season predictions. I made a prediction that come the end of the year, we're going to be talking about the 1-2-3 of Skeens, Jones, and Keller as one of the top five best in baseball. And I'm feeling pretty confident about that.
Yeah.
Skeens looks ridiculous. Jones has been ridiculous.
Skeens showed up and was immediately just exactly
coming of Strasburg.
Yeah, for sure. And that he's definitely been giving that comparison, but very much exactly what you thought and expected that he would be. And the kind of thing where you're like, you can't put so much hope into a guy like that, but he's doing it, you know? And
he's
by the way,
doing it.
Bailey Falter has not faltered there
he's
either,
not,
right?
Dude. He's been pretty solid.
He's a legend. He is their, by baseball reference war, their second best player. He's got a 3.53 ERA on a 4.81 FIP, right? Mitch Keller has a 3.93 ERA and a 3.74 FIP. So that's a little bit more like, especially if you're a FIP head, if you're a Fangraphs head, certainly seems a little more sustainable. And then obviously, you know, one of the reasons that Skeens has cracked the rotation here is because Marco Gonzalez is injured. But before that injury, Gonzalez, you know, 2.65 ERA and 3 starts, also crushing it, weirdly, for a guy who has not had a ton of success at the major league level. On and off, he's had some years where he's been okay, but not a ton of success at the major league level. But if Pirates, I don't know, is there a Pirates pitching machine now? Like, are we going to be talking about that? Because they also
I feel
have...
like they've always had something like that. Like, I remember they turned Liriano into a solid starter. Burnett had a renaissance in Pittsburgh.
That's true. That's true. Yeah.
They've done this with guys. Charlie Morton.
And relievers quite a bit, right? David Bednar last year and I think the year before, he's not been very good this year. And maybe that's something we should talk about in a later episode is just like what's going on with closers this year. And then like Jose Quintana, you know, like was on a downswing, goes to the Pirates, gets a little bit fixed, goes to the Cardinals, has a really good half season, goes to the Mets, has another pretty solid season, injury. Not that great this year, but like, I that's a good point. I do think maybe there is some sort of Pirates pitching machine. It doesn't seem like it's really been going the last clip this year, man.
It hasn't gone as it used to, but like they've always really been able to take reclamation projects and do something like, again, Charlie Morton, like, turned his whole career around in Pittsburgh. And, like, the big thing was that he changed his whole windup and delivery. He adopted kind of a Roy Halladay windup. I remember that there was a start back in 2011. It was Halladay versus Morton. And, like, it was like watching the same pitcher, you know?
Right.
So they've always done this. They've always managed to take guys that seem broken and make them look good. I mean, what was his name? Was an all-star for them.
I don't
know the name. It was the 2012 Pirates. I gotta look this up.
And it's not AJ Boone.
No, it will shock you who it was. All right, 2012 Pirates.
I remember that team.
Here. Nope, wasn't him.
Not Wandy, right? Eric Dart?
No. It's the 2013 Pirates. Jeff Locke.
Oh, yeah, Jeff Locke. Oh, my God, I forgot about that guy completely.
So the 2013 Pirates had Jeff Locke as an all-star.
Yeah.
They had Jason Grilley as an all-star.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That bullpen. Yeah. I'm looking at that bullpen too. Look at that bullpen. Melanson, Watson, Jason Greeley, and then Justin Wilson, Vin Mazzaro.
Was a really
everybody in that bullpen has a sub 3 ERA. Melanson wasn't even the closer
lost
yet.
To the Cardinals in the NLDS, and I thought they were good. I thought if the Pirates won the NLDS that year, they were going to win the World Series. Like, that was a really good Pirates team.
Well, and by the way, that Cardinal team should have won the World Series. They had Mike Matheny weighing them down. And pitching to David Ortiz, which 11 years later, I'm still not over. So I don't think I ever will be.
Yeah.
Worst manager maybe in the history of baseball.
My God, that might be an exaggeration. Chris had a 0.45 ERA with those.
Yeah, man, that Cardinals team was like dudes who like
I forgot
don't
how good that bullpen was.
Seth Maness, Trevor Rosenthal, Edward Mojica, Kevin Segrist. Yeah, Randy Choate pitching only to lefties like he should.
Joe Kelly.
And then like Joe Kelly. Yeah. Joe Kelly, who had like 15 starts and also 22 appearances out of the bullpen. Like, he had 15 games started and 8 games finished. That dude was like the swingman that year, man.
Yeah.
That 2013 Cardinals team should have gone all the way. And like Adam Wainwright, like having a Cy Young-esque season. I think he finished second in Cy Young voting that year behind Kershaw. I think Matt Carpenter finished like fourth in MVP voting. Yeah, man, that was quite it. Alan Craig, my guy, you know?
Yep.
Yeah, man. Yeah.
Wow.
That team should have gone. They made it to the World Series and they should have won. They got managed out of the World Series. And like Shelby Miller, young Shelby Miller, like back when he was good. And young Michael Walker. Man, that team. Ugh.
Wow.
I have dreams about that team sometimes.
Team.
Yeah, if we're talking about, I mean, even 1-2-3s, right? Because you put Keller in there and you look at, you know, the Phillies, Wheeler, Nola Suarez, and the Dodgers,
Glass, Yamamoto. Paxton's solid.
And again, Paxton's results, right? It's a 5.15 FIP on a 2.84 ERA. Is that sustainable? But then they have Gavin Stone and like Walker Buehler, who's not pitching well, but he's coming back from Tommy John, right?
Unfortunately for the Dodgers, they've now lost Emmett Sheehan to Tommy John. So.
Right. Yeah. And that's the modern game of baseball, right? You're going to lose guys to Tommy John quite often. And then like Bobby Miller, right? I don't know what his injury is. He's on the IL as well.
I forget what it was. I think he's going to be out for a while.
Yeah. But you know, like you're looking at the guys they have, and it's like, whew,
yeah,
whew.
Pirates have something here. You know, the Dodgers have something here.
Yeah.
Billy's like undoubtedly best rotation in baseball because their 4 starter would be a 3 on most of these teams,
right? Yeah, and definitely right now, but like, yeah, like I'm saying, right, like looking at the because it's Sanchez, right?
Yep, Sanchez, and then Walker is the 5, and then Spencer
Turnbull
who's been like
has been
good,
lights out too, yeah, for sure.
Yeah.
The Phillies rotation is like stacked right now, but like, you know, like I'm like. Certainly really, really good, but like if you're looking at like exciting and for the future, definitely got to be Dodgers and Pirates, right? Like
it's the Pirates for me. I don't think so. Here's the thing with the Dodgers. I don't think Glasnow can stay healthy over a full season, and I'm just waiting for the shoulder injury to get him again. And like,
sure,
all these young arms they have are out for a year at most.
Yeah, but like it's one of these things where like it's that machine, right? Because like Glasnow, sure, but then they've also got Yamamoto there, and they've also got Stone. They'll got 25. Sure. Miller's 25. I don't know when he's back. Sheehan's young. You know, Buehler's 29, but coming back from Tommy John, he still has the opportunity, like the capability of being good again. Shohei coming back from Tommy John next year as a pitcher. Who knows what he does?
I don't know. Hot take, I don't see Shohei being a pitcher for more than 2 years.
Well, yeah, I think
he's going to be told to just switch to hitting full time.
Yeah, yeah. But like, I mean, I think that's a fair thought. And you said that, I think, before. But I think you also predicted that he was not going to be the hitter that he was this year. And
he's been the hitter. So
he's been the hitter.
I was wrong on that.
So you
I
were wrong on,
I
that.
Wrong on that.
I mean, like, I don't think they're necessarily. You know, like I agree. Like once the guy gets into his 30s, you might just be like, look, it's just too much of a liability to have you. But they give, I mean, they're giving him a lot of money, though.
Not really. They're giving him $2 million.
Yeah, 20. Well, sure. But like, eventually giving him a lot of money. Like, the money that, but it is only, it's a $28 million.
Sure, but they can declare bankruptcy and that's all gone.
No, but they're not going to. They'll pay it out eventually. It's just like, I don't know.
I foresee a Dodger scandal in 10 years where it's like, yeah, we can't afford to pay anyone.
It's possible.
So we're declaring bankruptcy.
They're
going
to really have to cook those books, though.
Yeah.
But yeah, I definitely agree, Pirates. I also forgot to mention, I didn't see the next line there that mentioned Kirby Gilbert Castillo for the Mariners.
Oh, yeah. They're good.
Also really, really good. And they've been young for a while, and now they're starting to not be young.
Put
right?
Lance Lynn and Miles Michaelis on this.
Not me. It was Dylan, I swear.
Oh my gosh.
I swear it was Dylan. I think he's needling me. I think he's trying to get me to agree, and I'm not going to agree. First of all, he left Sonny Gray out of there, who's actually the good pitcher.
Gray has been good.
Gray has been good. He's been what we're paying him to be. Lynn's had some good starts, but no, I'm not. I swear to you that the Lance Lynn and Miles Michaelis thing has got to be Dylan trying to trick you into thinking that I said Lance Lynn and Miles Michaelis.
Oh, my Lord.
Kirby Gilbert, I think, are 27, 26, right? Like, they're starting to get to the age where they're no longer young. Castillo's 31, right? Like, and that's still good, right? And Bryce Miller is in that mix too, and he's 25, like still young, still good. But you look at those Pirates, man. Like
they're gonna be a force.
Of the two we said, those two guys are 22. Like
yep.
Then you add in Keller, who's like what, 25? Like
yeah.
That's, you know, as long as they can avoid the injury.
They still have dudes in that system. They still have Solomento.
Yeah.
Chandler and Harrington's the other guy.
So Keller's 28. So Keller's on the older side. Falter's only 27 as well. Right? Like, I don't know, man. I don't know. That's promising. It's a promising young rotation.
They've got dudes, man. Like I said, Chandler.
O'Neal Cruz, obviously, you know, on the hitting side. Jack Sawinski has not really been great, but.
Oh, well, never mind. These guys have all been trash. Oh,
the tools are there. The tools are all there. The pieces are all there. I wouldn't be surprised if they fire Derek Shelton soon and hire a good manager.
Oh, they have to.
You know, like it's like Shelton is the guy that shepherds you into the next good team. And the next good team might be there sooner than I think I said. I don't think that next team is coming in the next couple of years. But you look at these young pitchers, maybe that next good team is closer than I thought, you know?
Yeah.
Moving on, Alek Manoah, is he back? 7 innings, 3 runs, none earned in his last start. 7 innings, no runs, 1 hit. First win since last August. His ERA is at 3. He's looking like that. Alek Manoah, is he back, or is he now what we would call a streaky player? He's going to have these moments of being really good and these moments of being really bad. And it'll average out to being, you know, a four and a half ERA pitcher, which is not a bad thing to be. Certainly not what he was in his All-Star season, but third in Cy Young voting. And then last year just tanked. I don't know what happens to him. But what is your feeling here, Pat? Do you think Alek Manoah is back, or do you think he's gonna? These are just two good starts and a drop of what's promises to be an average career. I don't know why I'm hating on Alek Manoah here.
I think the only thing that's gonna be back about him is him being back in AAA come July.
Oh wow! All right.
I don't like Alek Manoah, and I consistently cheer for his failure. And.
I don't dislike Alek Manoah. I don't know why. The thing is, Dylan does like Alek Manoah, and so it would have been good to have him here to be the Alek Manoah counterpoint. I don't feel strongly one way or the other about Alek Manoah. His first start was bad, but his two starts after that, good starts. So I don't know. I think I don't know if he's going to be in Triple A by July. What's the Blue Jays? Yeah, I don't think the Blue Jays are a playoff team this year anyway. So I think, you know, unlike last year where they were trying to win something, I don't think they feel like that team this year. So I feel like they give Manoa a little bit more leeway. Although, man, Jose Berrios, Yusei Kikuchi, killing it at the top of that rotation.
Yeah, they've been pretty good.
Kevin Gausman, Chris Bassett, not so much. And they're getting paid more money. what, Bassett's $22 million. Gausman's got to be, Gausman's 20, 22, 23 million. Kikuchi's got to be like, what, 10? Yeah, 10 million. Berrios, what, 15? 18. Yeah. And then you toss Manoa at the back of the rotation. I don't know. It's a tough division. I can't believe they're in fifth place. I thought the Red Sox were.
I mean, that the NL East is, or not the NL East, the AL East is pretty wild right now. I mean,
it's stacked. I can't believe, I mean, the Yankees are at the top, which is
32. They have the second best record in baseball.
Yeah, feels surprising. And then you remember that they added Juan Soto to a pretty solid team, you know, like,
well, like, here's
Stanton's not hurt yet, real quick. You know, like,
dude, their pitching has been like, Cortez has been good, Clark Schmidt has been fantastic, Rodon has been fantastic. Luis Gill might be the AL Cy Young favorite right now.
Yeah, insane. And Marcus Stroman's been really good. Not one of these starters has an ERA over four.
And not one of these starters' name is Gerrit Cole.
And Gerrit Cole is, fully out for the season. insane. And then Clay Holmes has not allowed a run.
He's not allowed a single run.
A single run at 13 saves, not one run given up. Luke Weaver.
Earned run. He's allowed three runs, but not an earned run.
Not an earned run, yeah. Luke Weaver is
Luke
apparently
setup,
in the front end of their bullpen. When did that happen? At the end of last year, I guess. What? Luke Weaver?
Yeah.
No, it's because last year he started for them, and then they're like, you're going into the bullpen. He's like, okay, I guess I'm good now. Cardinals legend, Luke Weaver. We got
and Paul, like, Giancarlo Stanton doesn't look broken.
Stanton, look, he still doesn't walk. His batting average is still just okay. He bangs home runs. That's what he's always done.
But he looks like the Stanton we're kind of used to seeing.
Yeah, he looks like the best version of the, like, since COVID Stanton.
Yeah, Judge has turned it around after a dreadful start. Like,
right. Yeah, which you kind of expect, right? He's Aaron Judge.
Yeah.
And
yeah,
Soto, I mean, I don't remember if we said it on the podcast, but Soto just belongs in
he feels in right as a Yankee.
Like, it's just they need to back up that Brinks truck.
I still have that Yankees fandom in me.
Sure.
I haven't really been able to watch them this year because the Phillies have been so good. Like, Yankees have always been my go-to when the Phillies have been garbage.
Right.
Well, now they're the two best teams in baseball, so it's one or the other. I haven't really had a chance to watch.
No, like a year ago, you were like, I don't know, I'm not really a Yankees fan anymore. And now you're
Domingo German, and now he's gone.
Right, Domingo German's gone, so you can root for him again for sure. Yeah.
Like, man, Soto he's fun to watch. He belongs.
He
to the pinstripes.
Belongs there, man. Soto and Judge have got to be there for the next 10 years.
They don't extend him.
It'll be nuts.
New York's going to riot.
He's 25 years old, man. You sign him for 10 years, and you know guess what? He's still going to be good by the, like, by the time Soto's done with a 10-year contract, he'll be Giancarlo Stanton's age now.
Yeah. That is the kind of guy you give a 10, 15-year contract to.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, it'll be a 15-year deal, and the last five will be bad.
I don't
but
think
like,
we've had a player as young as him enter free agency since Harper back in 2019.
Yeah, Harper and Machado's like a year older than Harper, like so virtually the same. Yeah. Anthony Volpe, by the way, also not to like, he's also been excellent, very young, you know, like franchise future guy. This is his second year in the big leagues. He was called up on the opening day last year.
Volpe definitely feels like a guy that's going to be a career Yankee at shortstop.
Yeah.
Like, he just has those vibes.
Yeah. And Oswaldo Cabrera has been like okay, like they've got a lot of young talent to like to go with. I mean, Judge at this point, right? Because Rizzo's gonna go eventually. Like Rizzo's got like a year left on this contract.
Rizzo's done after this year, and then I think they signed Pete Alonso once they extend Soto.
Verdugo, you don't care about either way. He's been good, like he's been perfectly good for them. But nobody's gonna be broken up if Alex Verdugo does not stay a Yankee. You know,
yeah.
The only thing they've got is Stanton for another 4 years. But I remember, like, at the beginning of this year, I don't remember if I was talking to you or or somebody about how tragic this lineup looks and how much money they have committed to guys and how scary it looks.
It's what I said is that, like, it's a potent lineup, but yeah. If someone goes down, the whole thing's gonna fall apart.
Well, sure, but I think, like, we were just like, we were talking about how, like, because they have so much money committed to Stanton and then, like, Judge,
well, yeah, like, Judge it is was not Judge young, and Soto, and then a bunch of dudes,
yeah, but like, and then, but. It just seems like now, like, I'm looking at this roster right now, and it's like, most of these guys are on the right side of not only 30, but like 27.
Like, yeah.
It's wild. The future looks bright in the Bronx.
And Jason Dominguez has started taking at bats. So
like, you look at the 2023 team, right? Like, Kyle Higashioka at catcher, Rizzo at first base, LeMahieu at third base, Bader center field, Stanton DH, Judge right field, right? All of those guys over 30. You can give a pass to Judge, and the rest of them kind of tough, right? Josh Donaldson, age 37, was on the lineup for a chunk of that season. Like, and then the pitching staff, like, didn't look great, you know, like, nobody was really very good, except for Garrett Cole, who was also on the wrong side of 30 and got Tommy John. So like, it didn't look very promising 6 months ago. And now, I'm looking at the exact same team. It doesn't seem like they made a whole ton of changes. It looks infinitely more promising. And I don't know. Maybe I'm an idiot. I don't know. But yeah, man, the New York Yankees. This bullet point was Alek Manoah back. And we talked mostly about the New York Yankees.
Yeah.
Edwin Threw Diaz, Meltdown City.
Dude blew two saves to the Phillies this week. He is Hispanic Jonathan Broxton.
And closers have been weird this year, you know. Like I said, we
Dude,
talked about Ednar a little bit
Miller
earlier.
And Class A just dominating, and then everyone else has not looked good.
Yeah.
I guess Alvarado's been good. I guess he's technically our closer now.
Yeah, some guys have been good, but, like, you know, the guys and Diaz obviously returning from injury, so, like, that's confusing. Because Ryan Helsley has also been lights out for the Cardinals.
Diaz was told that they'd be going to committee, and he apparently broke down in the locker room, and Lindor and Sean Reed Foley had to sit with him and try and calm him down.
Yeah, man. I mean, it makes sense.
Much as I joke, I like Edwin Diaz. Like, he's, when he's on, he's electric.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah, you know, like, and like, it's hard to blame a guy for, like, you know, like, he doesn't want to be bad, you know, like,
To be fair, one of those blown saves, like, I'm willing to admit when something's been gifted to the Phillies.
Yeah.
There was that check swing on Merrifield in the first save he blew. That was 1,000% strike three or strike two rather than ball four. Instead it was ball four, and then he hit Bohm the next at bat, which put in the tying run.
Yeah.
Had that been called right, Diaz is probably still the closer for the Mets.
Yeah. Yeah. You know, it's tough coming back from injury too, right? There's obviously got to be other stuff there as well, right? And, like, you know, he's pitched in 18 games, 9 games finished, 5 saves, 5.5 ERA on a 5.09 FIP. Let me look at his game log, because obviously I've been watching, like, a ton of Mets games. His game logs, you know, came into a couple of tight games, did what he was supposed to do, not necessarily saves, just, like, coming into, like, you know, keep a 6-6 game, 6-6, and then the team lost, but not because of him, right? Or, like, coming in just like, hey, keep a guy's arm fresh four straight saves, a hold, a couple more coming into tight game situations, and he did his job. But three blown saves in 11 days is rough, you know. But like, until last week, like until May 12th, we had a 2-3 ERA and one blown save. Yeah. It's really like this four earned runs. So like, you know, closure by committee is we'll see how long that lasts. I really think, like you said, he kind of ran into some bad luck. Cause even like, you know, the Phillies blown saves were blown saves. And then he gave up four earned runs to the Marlins the very next time he came in, which was the game after next. That's tough, you know. It's just like, it is tough, you know. What are you gonna do? Right. He had a really bad week, and so I get it from a manager standpoint. Hey, you gotta give a guy a break. We're gonna go closer by committee for a little bit, but you can, and likely will earn your job back, right? I think he's gonna get his job back. It's just, what do you do if you're a manager? You gotta win. How to win ball games, you know, especially as a rookie manager. Like, you can't be giving everything to this guy when you gotta win ball games, and you gotta prove your mettle as a manager too.
Yeah. We'll see what happens.
We'll see. We'll see. I'm confident that Diaz is going to be firmly entrenched. What my call shot is that Edwin Diaz is going to be an all-star this year.
Yeah, I could see it.
I don't think it's like a stretch to say that. I just think, like, you know, we're looking at I think right now at his lowest point, it's a fun call shot to make. Is like, I think right now at his lowest point, yes, it's a low point, but I think that by the time we get to mid-July, he's going to be on the all-star team. Might be as a reserve. I don't know.
I mean, look, the Mets are gonna need someone, so
well, you know, Pete Alonso's gonna be in the home run derby, so
he's gonna be on an all-star team.
He'll already be there. They've got guys.
They're guys.
Man. Who do they have?
Yeah, Billy screams my entire team sucks, doesn't it?
Sean Manaea?
Moving on, Ramel Blanco.
By the way, I do want to point out that Steve Cohen said he's confident this team is going to make the playoffs.
Well, Steve Cohen also made a comment on Twitter that the trade deadline's a few months away. He can't move guys down, then deleted it. So there was that, too.
Incredible.
I don't know if you saw that deleted tweet.
I did not see that. That's incredible. Yeah. All right, moving on, Ramel Blanco. Tossed out of a game last week. We did not have an episode last week. Obviously, if you'll have seen there was no episode last week. He got tossed out of a game for sticky stuff. 10-game ban for sticky stuff. Not banned. A 10-game suspension for sticky stuff.
Yeah.
You know, it's tough. We were talking about it earlier year, right? What a great story he was. I think I was talking with Frack about that, or was it you? When he threw his no hitter,
talking about it. Yeah.
I think it was Frack. Yeah, when he threw his no hitter, eighth start of his career, like almost threw another no hitter the very next game, 14 2/3 consecutive no hit innings, and now it's, well, was he using sticky stuff in those games too? You know, like, and like, against the A's using sticky stuff, and like maybe it's like, is it just that like the Astros have been so bad? Also, what a bad look for the team best known for cheating to like get a guy suspended for stuff. That doesn't look great. You know, like it's, yeah. So really rough to see from a guy who's having a really, really nice season and a really nice story. Like we were talking about, and you know, last time we talked about him, like a real nice story, like, you know, this guy who, you know, Dominican pitcher who in his like 20s, at age 28, had a cup of coffee, and then like got his first start when he was 29, and then threw a no hitter, and now he's got a sticky stuff suspension hanging over him. Bummer. You know, like, how do you continue to be a fan of Ronel Blanco after this, right? Like, he said he put rosin on his left arm and it made his way into the glove because he was sweating.
Sure.
Okay. Okay.
Why not?
You know, it's, you know, I'm, here's the deal, right? They checked, I mean, they all check the gloves, right? And obviously he's going to get checked more thoroughly. So I think you can still root for him. It's just, it's a tough situation though.
Yeah. Yeah, we'll see.
Yeah. But we will see. We will see. Zach Greinke may be coming back? Question mark? He's facing hitters at the Diamondback Spring facility. Just testing it out. See how it goes. He is 40. He's a free agent right now. The quote from Greinke, an all-time Greinke quote, of the many all-time Greinke quotes, he said, "My arm feels decent at the moment. I was trying to get as good as I could at golfing the past 2 months, and I was like, why am I trying to be a pro golfer when I'm already kind of a pro baseball player? So I figured I'd throw a little and see how it goes." Kind of a pro baseball player, Zach Greinke.
He's so good, man.
He goes,
I love Zach Greinke.
Yeah. He says he began throwing in earnest only about 2 weeks ago. He said he made hundreds of throws to his young boys who asked him to try throwing a pitch as hard as he could. So I did one day, and I was like, it feels pretty good. So, you know, we'll see. You know, Diamondbacks spring training facility is where he's pitching. Obviously, he played for the Diamondbacks. I assume he lives in Arizona.
Yeah, it makes sense.
Probably spring trained there quite a bit, you know, drafted by the Royals. Right. Well, he was born in Florida. But I wouldn't be surprised if he lives his in the off seasons in. No, this is lives in Florida in the off season. Huh. But obviously the Diamondbacks were willing to be like, all right, we'll give you a shot, you know, whatever. Would be great to see him back. It is funny, he lives in Florida, but every single team he's played for does spring training in Arizona. The Royals, the Brewers, the Angels, the Dodgers, the Diamondbacks, the Astros, and the Royals again.
Yeah, that tracks.
He's
played for a lot of teams.
Yeah.
Like, I mostly associate him with Dodgers, Diamondbacks. Well, not even really the Dodgers. Like, Diamondbacks, Royals, and Astros. And I completely forgot he was a Brewer and an Angel.
Yeah, he didn't win a Cy Young with the Dodgers. He won a Cy Young with the Royals.
The Royals.
Brewers, obviously, very... Angels, a very forgettable era of his career. But like he was on, like, incredible Dodgers. Like, it was, like, the him and Kershaw, you know, Dodgers rotations. Like, those were nuts. But, yeah, it would be cool to see Zach Greinke come back. We talked about him earlier this... I think we talked about him on the podcast. This may be the third or fourth time we talked about Zach Greinke on this podcast this year.
We're big Zach Greinke fans.
Zach Greinke fans. Who doesn't love Zach Greinke? But it's like, you know, like, Greinke feels like a guy who, like, a club should give a shot to. Why not?
Yeah,
like, you know, some club out there could use him.
Yarbrough is chucking it up there at 84 for the Dodgers. I think anyone could use that Greinke.
Exactly. Yeah, exactly. Let's talk, Pat, about your favorite player in all of baseball, non-Phillies division, Ellie De La Cruz.
I love him.
4 stolen bases in a game, almost had 5. He's now up to 30 stolen bases for the season. He had 35 last year in 98 games, now in 46 games, less than half. He's up to 30, which is a, like, what, like 120 stolen base pace, 110, which is like, that's like Ricky Henderson numbers, man. This dude is crazy. And then to add to that, it's a 264, 362, 491 slash line, right? Like, he 9 home runs this season so far, 8 doubles, only 1 triple. But like, the second he gets on base, man, that dude is planning to steal.
Yeah, he is so much fun to watch. Yeah. He's incredible. And, you know, people are going to bring up the strikeouts, the low batting average and all that, but like, the dude is electric.
You know, batting average is like kind of low. 264 is like fine, especially when we put that on a 362 on base percentage. He walks enough to make up for not hitting a ton, you know. And the strikeouts aren't even like that bad, you know. Like, in this era of baseball, they're fine.
Everyone strikes out.
Everyone strikes out.
Yeah. But like when he gets the hold of the ball, dude, and makes contact, like he torches it. He destroys it.
Yeah.
And like there's a high likelihood he's gonna finish the season with 30 home runs, and like I wouldn't be shocked if he got to 80 stolen bases. Like
I wouldn't be shocked if he got to 100, man. He's a monster.
Ricky Henderson with power, dude. That's what he feels like.
Yeah, and Ricky had power at some point, but not when he was
not like
23.
What Ellie has. Yeah.
22, you know, like, because, yeah, Ricky had.
That's the thing. Ellie's 22.
He's 22. Like, Ricky had 24 home runs in 26, 28 when he was 28, when he was 27, 28 again when he was 31. Like, he had, you know, a 21 when he was 34. Like, he had a couple of 20 plus home run seasons, you know, close to 30 twice. But like when he was 22, 6 home runs, you know, and 56 stolen bases, but 100 stolen bases in his age 21 season. So like, and his age 23 seasons when he set the record with 130. Ricky had some pop, but not Ellie pop, you know?
Yeah.
And you look at guys like that, like Kenny Lofton, you know, no pop, right? Like Kenny Lofton had 15 home runs in a season was this max, was Lou Brock. I think Lou Brock was probably like 19 or 20, 21. Yeah. 21 and 60 in 1967 age 21 season, or age 28 season rather. So we have not seen a guy who has this kind of power and pop, and speed, like that combination. The closest is Ronald Acuna Jr. last year, who hit 40 home runs and 73 stolen bases, which was nothing short of incredible. Like, I'm not going to pretend that wasn't an incredible thing to watch. It was an incredible thing to watch. But if Ellie does it with 30 and like 100 stolen bases, insane.
You know, we often talk.
And by the way, Ellie can still hit 40 home runs. He has had 9 home runs through like
he's got the power.
A quarter of the season. We've not even gotten to like the heat of summer yet, where like the power starts to fly. He could do another 40-70 season a year after Ronald Acuña did it and won MVP for it. Is Ellie De La Cruz going to win MVP this year? Very possible.
Dude, if he does 40-100, he should win MVP.
Yeah. I mean, Shohei obviously has been incredible, as we said earlier. But, you know, 40 home runs, I mean, like 80, 90 stolen bases, like, it'd be hard to argue that he doesn't deserve MVP with numbers like that. God, Shohei's numbers are crazy, though.
And, you know, we talk about, like, how no one could ever touch Ricky's stolen base record, not only like the all time, but like the single season.
Yeah.
But you give Ellie's speed plus his height and the bigger bases.
He could do it, man.
If not this year, next year, Ellie could absolutely challenge for that single
season. I mean, he could challenge for it this year if things go the right way. He hasn't had he'd have to have a rip roaring, you know, couple of months to like really do it. But it's not out of reach yet. I don't think he's going to this year.
I don't think so either.
If he does, whew.
Yeah.
I don't think it's out of the question. He also leads the league in being caught stealing. He's been caught stealing 5 times, but like, whatever, man.
Whatever. 30 for 35 is great. Like,
That's insane. Exactly. Yeah, exactly. Ooh. Bonkers, man. Bonkers. Some businessy note. I don't think we talked about it. I don't remember if we talked about this, but it was announced earlier this season that Peacock will no longer be streaming Sunday night or Sunday morning baseball.
Yes.
Or I don't know if it was announced or if it was like they were in discussion still and they would seem like it was going away. By the way, it seems like NBC is using that money towards the NBA, which is a much bigger get than Sunday morning baseball. So I can understand why they wouldn't want to spend the money. It looks like it's going to Roku. Which is fascinating. Looks like Roku is paying $30 million over 3 years, which is less than Peacock had been paying.
Yep.
Which was $30 million per year. The Roku games will be available for free if you have a Roku or the Roku app available, which is available on computers and mobile devices, I believe. But otherwise, you have to get a Roku device. I think I'm not 100% sure if there's anything else that got the Roku app. But like I said, it's free for iOS or Android. You can, I believe, get it on your computer. And then if you have a Roku TV or a Roku device, also Roku device are like $20. So fairly worth it because it does everything too. What a big get for Roku, who is making waves, man. Roku making waves. I'm fascinated in what Roku's been doing for the last few years as their content strategy. This is a whole other podcast, really. If you want to hear people talking about streaming content strategy, I highly recommend Cord Killers. I've been a guest on that podcast a few times, and I really, really like it. Good show. Check it out. The Roku deal seems just really, really interesting.
Can't wait to watch Phillies games in Roku City.
In Roku City, baby. I think they're also going to be having, they're going to have like an MLB sort of like specific Roku app. Yeah. Yes. Oh, it looks like Amazon Fire, Samsung TV, and Google TV can get the Roku app, but not Android TV, which is a different thing from Google TV. Also not Apple TV. So a little bit confusing with what apps can and can't get Roku. I understand it, but I fully understand if you don't understand it.
Yeah, there's too many TVs now.
Yeah.
I need one centralized TV. I'm tired of being the IT guy that makes recommendations for smart TVs. Just pick one. They're all the same.
My recommendation is always get a smart TV that has like Google TV with it, and then also get a Roku. So like, when you get it all at once, you're paying $20 for the Roku on top of the $500 you're paying for the TV. So the $20, the right drop in the bucket, and then you should be covered on pretty much all fronts.
Yeah. Pretty much.
Also, I don't like smart TVs in general. So actually what I got is, or do it vice versa. So what I have is a Roku TV. Mm-hmm. And then I have a Nvidia Shield plugged into it with Android TV on it. And so like, there were moments in time where like Max wasn't on Android TV, Hulu wasn't on Android TV, and then they showed up eventually later, or like Apple TV wasn't on Android TV, but it was on Roku. And so when those things happened, I was like, great, it's on one, it's not on the other, but I have one or the other. So that worked quite well for me. So that's why I recommend it to people. Cause again, when you're buying the TV, the extra $20 you're going to spend on the Roku stick that you're never going to think about again is just a drop in the bucket. And also it lets you, if you have any Apple device, you can AirPlay to Roku sticks, which is also really handy. So if you're listening to our podcast and think about buying a TV in the near future, my recommendation is to get either a Fire TV or a Google TV, but I prefer a Google TV, and then a Roku stick. I also really don't like Fire TV, but I will acquiesce that people do.
My recommendation is get whatever makes you happiest.
Yes. I just think what will make you happiest is this.
Fair enough.
Because the thing is, most people don't know what will make them happiest. They're like, I don't know. I just want a TV. What should I get? And I'm like, okay, here's what you should do. Do this and this and this and this. Add this extra thing on. And then you're not going to have to think about it again until your TV breaks down. And the other thing is, because that's the reason I don't like smart TVs, is because the TV is going to break down before the thing I plug into it. And so I could keep my Shield TV across my next TV, but the TV life cycle is shorter anyway. The TV life cycle is longer. Generally, the TV is going to last longer than the stick, but so the software, we had an old smart TV, and that software was outdated within like 3 years, but now it's still a smart TV, but it's not that smart anymore. Anyway, the Cardinals had their City Connect leak. We're not going to talk too much about the City Connect. The Cardinals City Connect, because it's not been officially revealed yet. But I figured just in case, actually, not even just in case, it's going to be revealed officially today / tomorrow for us, today for you listening. So I think next week, next episode, sometime this week, I'll sit down with somebody else and just talk about the Cardinals City Connect. Because the official launch party is today.
Have you seen, speaking of City Connect Leagues, did you see the Dodger City Connect League 2?
No, I didn't.
So it's like, well, go over to Cardinals one real quick, and then I'll go over to the Dodgers one for you, because the Dodgers one is horrendously ugly.
Does it say, oh no, okay. I thought it said Los Dodgers again, and I was like, are you
no.
kidding me? I'm looking at it right now. All right, so the Cardinals City Connect is red. It says the Lou on it, which is kind of goofy.
Toilet.
Yeah, I think Nelly came up
for the St. Louis Cardinals this year.
I think Nelly came up with the Lou. I kind of like the pinstripes. I think
I didn't even see them. Like, they're not noticeable.
They're not super noticeable, which I like in some ways that they're not super noticeable. In some ways that if you look at it closely, you'll see them. Some people don't like the hats. I think the hats are pretty solid. The font is inspired by the old, like the very, very like early Cardinals fonts. So I kind of wish the hat was like navy and red. One thing of they're wearing it with white pants, which, as you know, I am a big fan of, because I hate.
They should have gone full red.
That would have
I would have hated it.
I hate colored pants on baseball uniforms. I've talked about it on the podcast. I hate it so much. I'm really glad that Bill DeWitt the Third agrees with me, because that's what he said. I don't remember if it was DeWitt or John Mazalak. DeWitt being obviously the representative of the ownership group. He said essentially that the colored pants look like pajama pants, and I agree. So I'm real glad that they are wearing white pants with it. The official unveiling, like I said, is going to be later, quote unquote, today, as the podcast is releasing, tomorrow for us. But Monday, they're doing a big launch party with Metro Boomin, who I also learned this week is from St. Louis and went to the same school district as me. Is 6 months younger than me. We probably know some of the same people, but not like a lot. We didn't go to the same school, just the same district.
Yeah.
Those are my quick thoughts on the Cardinals City Connect leak. We'll have a longer segment on it, like we did with Pat and the Philly City Connects earlier in the season. And I'm sure at some point this season, I think once all of the ones that are going to be really revealed this season,
I want to do a whole ranking of them all.
I agree. So you and I will do that once they all get revealed. Because I think that's, first of all, peel behind the curtain, real easy content.
And you and I are the Jersey hat guys.
You and I are the Jersey guys, and we have strong feelings. And a lot of the times, our strong feelings are very different from one another. So it's going to be a really good episode. This is the one thing that I have our really strong feelings on is jerseys. Let's talk about this Dodgers one, man. I'm looking at it right now. Very leak, like early leak.
It's ugly. It's cream. With funfetti.
Cream with sparkles. Funfetti is a weird choice, man.
And the Dodgers logo on the sleeves looks like the Disney's D. So they're never getting away from the Mickey Mouse World Series vibes now.
It's the LA interlocked with the, because they have used this like curly D logo on occasion.
Yeah.
Although it's a little bit more like it is a little bit even more Disney than usual. Super weird. I don't hate the Los Angeles across the front, although it looks kind of like Star Trek.
It's a very weird jersey.
It's a very weird jersey.
I hate it, but I wouldn't be opposed to owning one. Because it's ugly, but it's the type of ugly that I would wear.
I think honestly the one of the worst things about it is that because here's the thing, right? The City Connect jerseys feel like the kind of thing, like the idea of them is you can wear them not as a baseball jersey, right? The idea, like the Miami, like the Marlins one looks like you could just wear it out, right?
Yeah.
I think the biggest thing with the Dodgers one is you can't really wear this unbuttoned, otherwise it says low A on one side of you and Angelus on the other. Doesn't work.
No.
But we'll see. The Cardinals one has a similar problem where it's like, and then Elu, But I think that's a, you know, you get the birds, you're not really looking at the text. Whereas like the, on the Dodgers one, the only thing there is the text. So it's got a lot less going on, it looks like. But we'll see once this is sort of officially revealed. Let me see.
We still have the Blue Jays and Twins to come.
Yeah, so the Blue Jays official sort of unveiling is the 31st. Twins is the 14th. Dodgers is the 14th of June. Dodgers is the 21st of June.
Okay.
And so probably, you know, Pat, let's pencil in late June, early July to do our City Connect rankings.
Yeah.
But that's what we've got for the rest of this season is those three plus Cardinals four. We didn't really talk about the Tigers or Guardians ones, I don't think.
They're not good.
The Guardians one was revealed earlier this week. You know, I like the piping. The hat
piping
actually looks
Guardians is
like
cool.
A classic hat, so that's nice.
Yeah.
It's not terrible, it's just boring. The Tigers one is rough. I posted in our Discord that like I was in
Ann
Arbor. Like I was
yeah.
in the Detroit area and I was thinking about going and like getting live reactions from real Detroit fans. And I was like, I think I'd rather go home than spend an extra hour, like hour and a half, 2 hours in Detroit for just getting opinions from random strangers who are probably wrong. I was in New York a couple weeks ago, saw the Mets ones in person too. Didn't love them.
I like the Mets. That's
the
one thing
rock,
they've done right this season.
I don't.
Yeah, the Rays are the
love,
best.
Don't love Dark Pants, but the Rays ones rock. And that's that. The hat, sick.
Yeah.
And the skateboarding Ray, sick.
Dude, skateboarding Ray is incredible.
Yeah.
It's great.
The Rays, I think, are the best one this season so far. But we will track the next ones as they come along, and we will, like I said, in late June, do a ranking of all of the City Connect jerseys that have been revealed so far. Is that all of them, or are there more coming next year?
I think that's it.
I think. That's
I mean,
it
I know
too.
The Nationals are retiring theirs after this season, so maybe they're getting a new one next year.
Yeah,
but
I think the Nationals are getting a new one. But the only one didn't have one. Oh. The Yankees haven't announced anything yet.
They're not getting one.
They'll probably do one eventually, but
they hate fun.
Yeah, but like the Cardinals traditionally have Cardinals, Tigers, and Dodgers traditionally have not had alternate jerseys. Cardinals have acquiesced the last few years, added the cream and the victory blue. You know, their Saturday alternates. Dodgers and Tigers have not. Dodgers were early to having their awful, awful City Connects, the Los Dodgers pajamas. But I wouldn't be surprised if the Yankees end up doing one. That's my thing about the Mets one, man. I understand that it's Metsy, and it feels Metsy, especially when you're in New York and you know what the purple line is. But if you're not a New Yorker and you don't know the story behind it, you would look at Harrison Bader wearing this and be like, oh yeah, he's on the Yankees, right?
Yeah.
You know, it's tough. Anyway, we'll talk about all that once we talk about City Connect jerseys in 6 weeks. So the last thing to mention here, I just want to mention this because I saw Jung Ho Lee, who is the Korean outfielder for the Giants, torn labrum. He has to get shoulder surgery and will be out for the rest of the season, which is not good. He hadn't been super duper strong. His slugging percentage hadn't been very good. Batting average 262, 310, 331 batting line. I wonder how much that labrum was already hurting him. But it's tough to see from a guy coming, you know, to the majors and sort of immediately, you know, having this issue and being out for the season. Not that this was a super important season for the Giants, but it was a super important season, surely, for Jung Ho Lee, who, you know, moved
got a big contract
world to play baseball in America. Yeah. So, yeah, rough to see. I guess probably worth also noting Shohei Imanaga and Yoshinobu Yamamoto, the two Japanese pitchers who came over this year, have been crushing it. We talked about Yamamoto already, but Shohei Imanaga.
Yoda, dude, you know, is unbelievable.
Sorry, Yamamoto or Imanaga?
Imanaga.
Yeah, Imanaga, incredible. 0.84 ERA. He's allowed 5 earned runs through the season. 3 of those on home runs. But like, you know, he's just like 2.21 FIP too, right? Like it's, he is a lot of home runs. Not a lot of home runs, but like the home run ball kills him. And then other than that, 40 hits, you know, like in 53.2 innings, 53.2 innings. So 6.7 hit per 9, 0.5 home run per 9, which is good. 1.5 walks per 9. 9.7 strikeouts per 9. He is looking like the Cy Young favorite. And again, of the two Japanese pitchers that came over, he was the much less heralded one. Obviously, he's 5 years older.
Yeah.
And not that Yamamoto has been doing poorly. He had a little bit of a rough start, and he's calmed down since then and has been having a pretty solid season. But Imanaga seems untouchable.
Yeah.
Two of his 5 earned runs came against the Padres. Like, he's crushing it, man. Really, 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 really cool to see for him. Not as cool to see for me, a Cardinals fan, seeing a Cub do that well. And I was really, really actually hoping the Cardinals would sign him because they needed pitching, and they did not sign him. It was really frustrating. I'm sure he's friendly. I mean, we all know what we obviously really wanted, but once he was gone, it was like, seems like he was always going to be the Dodgers. Imanaga would have been great. I'm sure he's friendly with Lars Nootbaar, who made friends with all the Japanese players when he played for Team Japan. Anyway, it's fine. It's fine. Pat, I think that's going to do it. Anything else you want to talk about here?
No, we've covered it all.
Great. We had a tight hour, too. It seemed like I talk a lot, and we had an hour almost to the dot. So pat ourselves on the back for that one.
I'll pat myself for that one. We did good.
Absolutely. All right. Well, that's going to do it for this episode. Thank you so much for listening. Rain Delay Radio releases every Monday morning roughly at 1 a.m sometimes a little bit later, usually 1 a.m in some American time zone. My name is Nyam. I edited this episode. I also hosted it along with Pat. Our theme was composed by Chuck Lease. Rain Delay Radio is executive produced by Lewis, and we will talk to you next week. Bye.